My name is Sebastian Dialas. I'm from Germany here, so if you have any questions afterwards, we can also speak German. I translate. I'm the release manager for Sugar on a Stick, which is a Sugar Labs project, and you'll learn more about that during this talk. But the general, topic of my talk is leveraging open source communities. And I think it's going to be a boring talk because it's going to start with my story. And when I was getting, originally I didn't even think about getting involved in open source because it was just too far away. And people who know me will probably realize or also agree that there were lots of coincidences and interesting moments and awesome people out there. So I think I was probably 15 or 16 when I got involved through an internship because I was interested in getting my school an open source solution because their current solution doesn't work too well, frankly speaking. And so I met somebody who worked for Fedora before, and he encouraged me, basically challenged me to, get involved there and explore the possibilities. And through that, I met somebody called Greg de Königsberg. He worked for Red Hat at that time. And because I was interested in education, I was leading the special interest group for education back then. And at some point, he just shot me an email and asked, what would you do if I got you in one laptop per child machine? I was like, well, wait, you're talking to me, because I was interested in technology before, but I hadn't even thought about the remote possibility of getting involved there because I didn't know that was possible. And and through that, I got to know many cool people, some of which you can meet at the Sugar Labs booth down in, I think it's the first hall. And I got involved in the OLPC project and then Sugar Labs because at some point I was looking for something to do and I found a blog post and I decided it was something worth working on, getting a Fedora software solution that actually directly booted into Sugar. And that's what's called Sugar on a Stick by now. I'll make more advertising for that later on, but it's basically the idea of the project is to enable everybody or every child that is anywhere near close to having a machine, a computer, and to be able to use the Sugar learning platform and to be able to have a personalized learning environment, which means that you can just, it's obvious, it's on a stick, so you can just boot it up, work on stuff, and create documents, share documents with your friends, or draw pictures, whatever. And it's stored on the USB key, and wherever you go, you'll always have your personalized learning environment. And while we had three releases of Sugar on a Stick thus far, the first one happened actually last year at LinuxTag. And the thing is that the making of software is hard. I think everybody knows that. Most of the people involved know that, and that's why it's important to get contributors. So this is me and one of the team members of Sugar on a Stick at FatCon Toronto last year. But my point is that it doesn't necessarily, Sugar on a Stick started as a one-man project. There were people helping out, but basically, I was doing a lot of work. People helped, but yeah. And that's not sustainable in the long run. I'll tell you why. So this is Sugar on a Stick Blueberry. That was the second release that got released last December. And as you can see, our build process is kind of interesting because by its nature, sugar on a stick requires interaction with all kinds of different upstreams. So we've been talking a lot about upstream-downstream relationships on the mailing lists. And I'll just walk through that briefly and get to the general point later on. So the activities are, well, the applications that run in the sugar environment, they have their own developers, which are not necessarily the sugar core developers. So they are their own upstream. Well, from our point of view, there's Sugar Core, which is being developed at Sugar Labs and has its releases every 6 months, usually. And there's Fedora, which is also an upstream because we are pulling from Fedora, or we were pulling from Fedora. Then we ripped out all kinds of stuff, put some magic in, and made it a little bit more shiny to have it say like Sugar or something. And then we had software builds and snapshots, which I had to compose every single time. So every time we wanted to have a snapshot, I had to go and push a button or execute the live CD creator. And then at some point we realized, somebody brought up the idea of putting ebook readers in, which is cool. Well, unless you do it 2 weeks before the release, because then everybody starts running around, which is what I call here last minute changes, also caused by additional content. So we were trying to put sample ebooks in the distribution, and it turned out that we had spent like 1 week of researching content that was unfortunately not properly licensed. It had a non-commercial clause in the Creative Commons license, which is, well, not what we were willing to distribute. And I basically spent the nights before I flew off to FatCon Toronto until 2 or 3 a.m. trying to respin the whole thing because more and more issues occurred. And we were, they were not hard issues, but we were trying to get it out in time because we had a press release and announcement scheduled, but there was small things like the final build I announced in the first time still said it was a snapshot, and it wasn't a snapshot, it was the final release. And we didn't want to shoot that out at the users, and so I had to go and rebuild the whole thing, which takes time, and then to boot it and test it. And it was, in a way it was fun, but in another way it wasn't. And one could say that we failed because, as I said, this is just not sustainable, having very few people doing all work and not interacting properly with upstream and downstreams and leveraging their work. So now I'm going to show you how the Mirabelle release, which is its code name, so for version 3, which we did on May 25th, how that release process looked like. I think it's more simple now. So the activities are still there. We want them, obviously, and Sugar Core is still there, and Fedora Core, Fedora is also still there. But since I originally got involved through Fedora, I also care about Fedora and Sugar Labs at the same time. So what I've been also doing in cooperation with Peter Robinson and some other people was to package or to keep Sugar for Fedora updated. And because we were doing that anyway, we decided that Sugar on a Stick could just become a Fedora spin, which means that we don't have to push the compose button every single time, but Fedora release engineering goes and dials the build for us in time, and we are going to get nightly snapshots, and we got nightly snapshots for testing. So basically we had less stuff to worry about. And it also gave us hard deadlines because we were following the Fedora schedule, and that means there were like alpha freezes, beta freezes, final freezes, by which the changes had to be in. And there was, well, you could make an exception, but it was, in a way, a close to impossible to move deadline, or we didn't want to move it because we needed these deadlines to communicate to people on less properly that it just doesn't work to put new features in a day or two before the release. I guess that makes sense. So what we did was to shift the focus of Sugar on a Stick slightly. So we decided it was impossible to meet every single deployment's needs out there, which hopefully makes sense to you too. And we decided we wanted to have a shiny spins page, because that's what we are targeting for our end users. I'm going to get you the links in a second. And yeah, there's a shiny download button and stuff, and it tells you more about the general idea. And then we did a huge overhaul to our wiki, which you don't need to read right now, but we basically changed the boring looking original page into a contributors portal. So in the wiki, we are directly inviting users to contribute. We give them ideas how to contribute, and yeah, we invite them and try to make it easier, because as I said earlier, software engineering is hard and getting involved is sometimes even harder. So yeah. This is the question you might be asking yourself right now, because the talk abstract didn't talk entirely about Sugar on a Stick, but well. The thing is that, well, we have a bit of time, so. These are the three most important things you can do when you talk about open source software engineering. Because, you know, when you try to build a community, which is actually a requirement to have sustainable development, because otherwise you get into the situation where you are basically spinning images until 3 a.m. in the morning when your flight leaves at 7 a.m. or something, so which I wouldn't recommend anyway. So this is something you should probably keep in mind. If I talked to a friend of mine, and she recommended mentioning this development model, and it was a couple of weeks ago, and I figured that was actually interesting. So this guy, Bruce Tuckman, apparently worked on group development, tried to develop a model for a group development, and those are the four parts: forming, storming, norming, and performing. So what does that mean? Forming means that you are just starting to have a project, and people are talking, which is good, by the way. Radical transparency is something we are trying to incorporate in Sugar on a Stick, so we try to keep everybody posted about what's going on. And so people are talking in that forming period, and they are like trying to figure out their positions, and they are doing some stuff, but they are not doing actual stuff, because they are too afraid of bringing up the hard topics, because they don't know how the other one would react. And it's basically everybody runs in circles and tries to get stuff done, but actually fails at doing so, because they don't aim for solving the big issues out there, which actually sometimes imply yelling at each other, or having at least some serious conversations. Some projects stop there; they never advance much further. Some projects evolve to the storming period, which is a period in which they yell at each other, the contributors. For example, I'll be frank now. You can read all that stuff in our wiki and our meeting logs. So we are actually in a storming period with some parts of Sugar Labs right now, because we are trying to work out the position of Sugar on a Stick in the whole image of Sugar Labs. And this is a hard conversation, because all kinds of people are affected, all kinds of people have interests, and it is a discussion that we have to have, and so we are doing that. If you advance to this, let's call it stage in group development or community building, this is awesome, because then you're basically ready to move on to the next stage, norming. And that is where everybody has worked out their, well, not their issues, but the issues they were talking about. They're actually getting somehow productive now. So they have now really positioned themselves. They know where they stand, and they can get stuff done. And performing is just one step further, which is where everybody trusts each other, which sometimes is already the case in the early stage of a project. But performing is basically just bringing the productivity to a new level, and that's it. That's where you gotta go, I guess. What it would be good to achieve in a project. So you might ask what to do then when you have software development which is probably not open source yet, or which is happening behind closed doors, or which, well, you have just an idea and trying to work out, like we heard in the talk before, whether to do it the open source way or not. And these are a couple of ideas. They are not requirements or anything, but there are some key points there, because the first step is something we did too late in Sugar on a Steak. So we figured that Fedora was already doing composes for other spins, like they call it, which is just a modified but still approved version of Fedora. And it is good to work with people working on closely or somehow the same ideas, or because it's all a community and they are all related. And the next three bullet points are just about the most important thing, like communication, because if you don't give people the ability to contribute, they won't, because they can't. If you don't get the word out about what you're doing, why you are doing it, and why people should be concerned, they are simply not going to do it, because they don't know about what's going on, and the few who might be interested in what you're doing probably will just go off because it's too hard. And that's also the point when you should get people excited about your idea. Like my involvement in open source communities started because I was excited about the idea of having an actual open source solution for my school. That was probably not too exciting for the rest of you, but And through that, I told you my story. Weekly meetings are also important because it's something people can work towards too. I've read a book, I think it's called Getting Real by the folks from 37 Signals, and they suggest to not have a fixed amount of time for meetings, like 1 hour meetings, because this decreases productivity, which might actually be true, but the point is when you're not sitting in an office or something, but working through IRC, it's good to check in every week or bi-weekly or something, because it brings people together, and you can work out stuff and try to set milestones and assignments and tasks, and then come back next week and see what got done. Yeah. And finally, get more people excited. Yeah. Now, this was a large list, and it's probably, a good chunk of you was probably doing that already. But if you don't, I recommend reading a book, which is a textbook. It's written by the teaching open source folks, and they basically sat down. One of them was Greg de Koenigsberg, so he wrote a pretty large part of that book. It's awesome, by the way. And he talks about getting involved in open source communities and also bringing a lot of technological knowledge in there. He's talking about version control systems, like you saw on the first on the slide before, and about the importance of patching, of forking, these kind of things. And it is not just interesting for people involved in education, it is really an awesome book, and I recommend you to read that. So I wanted to make a reference to the talk before, because what I'm going to say now is probably going to conflict with that. So I think I was talking about the open source way here. And I will argue that, or I do argue that it is the right way to do it, the open source way, not developing things behind closed doors. And this is something I should probably keep in mind. There's another book on that, which is called The Open Source Way, so that is pretty simple. And yeah, because some of the things we achieved already with Sugar on a Stick or other, don't look at just Sugar on a Stick, but also at all the other projects out there that would have never been happened without the open source communities, and especially the people contributing to them, and the ability to leverage these communities and to get more people involved and excited and gain more contributors through that. Yeah. This is what what is actually happening right now. So, you know, Sugar was shipped on the IPC machines in version 0.82. And before that, it was, it's not like I was, too much involved before, but, software majors over the time. And it was probably, not the most stable thing, like 2 years before that or a year before that. And we actually managed to get Sugar to work in the latest Red Hat Enterprise Linux better. And I believe that's quite an achievement, because if you can make your software from a very simple prototype work on one of the enterprise Linux distributions in a year or two, just because you're doing that the open source way, this is pretty awesome. This is something I recommend you to do too, because if it's on there, it's you just need to walk another step and you can work out support and business model and stuff. Yeah, I said I was doing more advertising later in the talk, so. Sugar on a Stick Mirabel is the latest version. You can grab it at our booth down there, or just go to spins.fedoraproject.org/SOAS and download it there. Finally, there are a few links if you want to write them down. Those are basically the few pages I just mentioned. OpenHatch is actually a very cool project, because you can invite, it's an portal too for more projects, but you can put tasks out there, you can answer questions, and users can wave and say, hi, I'd like to contribute, and then you can get in touch with them. It's basically, a page that is facilitating the contribution process. Yeah. So I think we are approaching the end. If you've got any questions, do ask them now, or email me, sdz@sugarlabs.org is my email address, anytime. Thank you. Any questions? So the question was, I don't know if I can actually rephrase that properly. So the I think there are a couple of people wrote about that, but you can never be sure until you try. So there's a book I'm reading right now, which is called Secrets of a Buccaneer Scholar. And it talks about a new approach to self-education, which is basically the person who wrote that book dropped out of high school, and he is still, or he used to be one of the, I think he led a testing team at Apple or something, and he talks about how he is still learning every day and what about getting excited. But I think it's not, you can't say that if you follow this path I just outlined, you're automatically going to succeed, because it is hard, and it is incredibly hard to succeed there. And some projects will fail at the stages I mentioned, probably even at the first. And you need strong willpower, and I think you also need a lot of people. You need people actually being excited and believing in what you're doing, because otherwise you will fail. Like we did for the second version of Sugar and Stick, by the way. The question was about how important, like, Web 2.0, I guess you're referring to, like, yeah, Twitter, Facebook, I bet, these kind of things, how important they are for communication. And I can talk from, well, I've been following the marketing activities, for example, of Fedora, and they use those channels to promote things like releases or something. But, for example, I don't think it's actually used that widely to gain contributors right now. I think that still has to happen, because it's apparently actually the way we are moving to in the Web 2.0. And I think Fedora just got a major update to their Twitter channel or something. So people are working on that, but I think that you're right in asking that, and there's still stuff that needs to be done, because this is where lots of people are. And getting them excited in these channels is, well, a possibility for us, I believe. Well, I wouldn't recommend. Well, I mean, you could try developing. you could try doing a software development or coordinating that through Twitter, but I don't think you just want to do that in 120 letters. But my point is that right now the things are still happening on the mailing lists, and that the next step is probably going to be to reach out in the new channels for contributors and invite them to join the, what you just called the old channels, which is probably true. But I'm not going to try to make a guess about where we are going to be in like 10 years, because there's so much innovation happening, and the internet is moving so quickly. So, it could be that most of the stuff is happening through social networks at some point, but I don't know. Okay, last question.